Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup for the second straight year. They win last night 1-0 in Tampa. They win the series over the Montreal Canadiens 4-1. John Cooper, coach of Tampa Bay, on why it was so important for them to win it again this season.
To be honest, we all knew this. Now I can just tell everybody, like, this team, knowing that we're probably not going to be together, this was the end of a special group for 2 years, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen here, but I think that was a huge motivator for our group, and to be a part of this and to be able to do it, you know, 2 years in a row. Like, you've heard me to your sick in the face saying, oh, you know, are we full? And let's be honest, we've been knocking at the door for so many years, and now to be able to do it back to back, like, it kind of cements this group as, well, they're special. Anyway, it's amazing.
Tampa Bay, you're back-to-back NHL Stanley Cup champions with the win last night, 1-0, win the series 4-1. Breaking sports news, Tokyo venues for the Summer Olympics will not have spectators. Earlier today, Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga confirmed the pandemic-delayed Tokyo 2020 Olympics will take place under a coronavirus state of emergency. The announcement was made following a meeting of five Olympic and Japanese government groups responsible for the Games. And one of the members of the committee said a very heavy judgment was made. He said due to the pandemic, they have no choice but to hold the Games in a limited way. So the Olympics will not have fans, and that certainly will take away from the whole spirit of the Olympics, no question. And now it'll be interesting to see if there are any athletes that'll back out going to Tokyo. My guess is there won't be too many that'll back out. You've put in so much work, and this is not 4 years. We're talking 5 years now because there's no Olympics last year. So I think most of the athletes are still going to go through with it. And by the way, COVID-19 is not you get it, you immediately die. You know, there is that media narrative that is out there. I saw the numbers yesterday that, you know, 99.997% of people 0 to 18 survive, and 99.95% of people, you know, 18 to 40 survive, and then 95% over 70 survive. And so it will be very interesting to see if there are any athletes that withdraw because of concerns of the coronavirus going over to Tokyo, but there will be no fans to cheer them on.
Yeah, and I'm interested, like, the number of athletes is, like, from the U.S., just as an example, that are vaccinated too, right?
Yes,
like, that feel like, hey, I have a very small chance of contracting this and anything really bad happening to me, plus I'm vaccinated.
Right.
I'm going to go and compete. And I think that's probably going to be the case for the majority, like, large majority of them.
And these athletes are in really good top peak physical shape for the most part. So it's not let's be honest, there are people that, and it's, you know, there's a breakdown of it, but if you had pre-existing conditions, autoimmune issues, obesity has been a factor as well in regards to the worst part of COVID-19 for people. It's not that anybody can get COVID, don't get me wrong, but those that have had the most problems are those when had pre-existing conditions. Obesity has been a factor as well. Not all cases, just saying that that is one of the factors. And so those that are in tip-top physical shape probably have a better chance of dealing with COVID than somebody that isn't in the best of shape, whether it's self-induced by this or they just have, you know, some hereditary health issues from their family and their genes. So we'll see how that turns out for the Olympics, see if any athletes withdraw from the Olympics. It will be interesting, but I think for the most part, they'll pretty much all still go over there. All right, local sports, get some baseball tonight.
Yeah, K-18 Twin Lakes League Tournament will continue with the semifinals here this evening in Beloit, and the first game will be at 6 o'clock. Smith Center Red taking on the Beloit Blue team, and then that second semifinal will get underway 30 minutes following the conclusion of the first one. Russell will meet Wakanda in the second one, approximately 8 o'clock, again, or 30 minutes after that first semifinal. All four teams have already qualified for the East Region Tournament next week there in K-18, and the winners of tonight's games will play in the championship tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The third-place game will be first at 6 o'clock on Friday. That full K-18 League Tournament bracket is updated and can be found at ncksports.com.
All right, we continue with baseball and the Royals yesterday.
Remember, his hand went into the helmet of O'Hearn on the throw, and he hammers that pitch to left field. Down base hit, threaded fair. Akiyama scores. Freeman around third. Indiana second. Freeman scores, and the Reds ahead, powered by the rookie. Right, Jonathan India, a two-run double, 3-2 Cincinnati.
So a day after the Royals rallied to win after being down 6-1 and won 7-6, it was the Reds with the rally yesterday, down 2-0 going into the seventh, but they're able to spoil a very, very good outing by Brady Singer, who exited the game after facing one batter in the seventh, and he got the job done. Did Singer. Six scoreless innings, allowed just four hits, one walk, and two hit batters while striking out six. And so the Royals hand over to a reliever that some think should have been an all-star selection, Scott Barlow. In a span of three batters, the Reds took the lead off of Barlow. And after a 1 hour, 12-minute rain delay, they continued to pile on against the back end of the Royals bullpen to hand the Royals a 5-2 loss. Royals have lost 12 of the last 15 games. And the Royals' offense could not muster another comeback in back-to-back days. Two walks and a single loaded the bases with two outs in the eighth inning for Hunter Dozier, who belted a high fly ball deep to left center field. In 13 MLB ballparks, it would have been a grand slam, but at Kauffman Stadium, it is just a loud out, and the Royals fall. And you know, Barlow was rested. He was ready to go. The Royals felt great about it. 2-0 lead, handing over to Barlow, but for one of the few times this year, Scott Barlow didn't get the job done. Here's his skipper.
He's been so good all year. You know, we take him against anybody in any situation. And, you know, the first one, I think, you know, we got a ground ball there that, you know, wasn't hit real hard, just out of the reach of third. And that potentially could have been a double play and then kind of gets us in a different place. But after that, he had some balls that were elevated and looked like the slider was popping up a little bit to where they were seeing it a little more than what they normally do. But we haven't seen many days like that for Scott. They're going to happen. It's unfortunate because you know, we're in the right spot of the game that we want him in there. And just a tough one to give up three runs right there.
Royals lose it yesterday by a final of 5-2. They're now 36-50. They go 3-3 on their six-game homestand. They have a four-game series on the road in Cleveland beginning tonight. And then there'll be the All-Star break out in Colorado. 6-10, first pitch. It is Danny Duffy on the hill for the boys in blue. 4-3, ERA at 2.60. The home run derby matchups have been released, and why would we share that? Because there is a Royal in the home run derby. Salvador Perez is the four seed. It'll be Shohei Ohtani against Juan Soto, the one versus the eight. Ohtani has 32 homers now in the season, the lead in Major League Baseball. And Ohtani's going to play, he's going to be a pitcher and a position player. I mean, that's fantastic, and I think it'll be very cool. Perez is the four seed. He'll take on the defending home run champion, Pete Alonso, from the Mets, who's the five seed. He won it 2 years ago. Of course, there was no All-Star game last year, so there's no home run derby. Joey Gallo of the Rangers is the two seed against Trevor Story of Colorado, the seventh seed. Obviously, home run derby, you probably should have a hometown guy. That's why you go back to the Royals when they hosted, and Billy Butler, and they didn't, you know, he wasn't part of that stuff. Anyway, Trevor Story will represent Colorado. He's a seventh seed. And Matt Olson of the A's is a three seed against Trey Mancini of the Orioles, who's a six seed. So that's the home run derby taking place on Monday, the All-Star game Tuesday at Coors Field there in Colorado. NBA Finals, game two is tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC. Game three will be Sunday at 7 o'clock in Milwaukee. Game two is tonight in Phoenix. The Suns have a one game to none lead thanks to Chris Paul's 32, Devin Booker with 27, 22 the other night as well for DeAndre Ayton, along with 19 rebounds. And this is where you see major adjustments typically from game one to game two. The Bucks made adjustments against Trae Young with their drop coverage defense in game one to game two. A lot of talk here in the last 24 hours in regards to the Bucks about how they've got to be a little bit more physical, a little bit more aggressive defensively, and try to wear down Chris Paul and put a little bit more pressure on him when he crosses half court. I do think that's a good idea. He is 36 years of age, of course. And then how are they going to handle defensively with the pick and roll? Because the Bucks don't have a particularly deep bench. And if you take Brook Lopez out, and he was a liability in the pick and roll against Paul and others, you take him out, then Giannis has to play the five. Now you're going smaller. And then guys are going to probably be playing a little bit too many minutes. So Brook Lopez is going to have to be on the floor at some point for the Bucks, and you're probably going to have to play 20, 25 minutes. And the question is, how vulnerable will he be on the floor in game two versus game one? The other thing, too, is that the Suns did make some tough shots. Some of those pick and rolls where Paul and Booker, you know, they made some fadeaways, tough shots, which they're capable of doing, obviously. Maybe those shots don't go down in game two. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bucks do, if they're going to switch everything again, if they're going to try to stay with their man and not switch, how they're going to defend defensively man-to-man where they throw a little zone out just to give a different look. Mm-hmm. And then Giannis, how effective is he going to be tonight? It sounds like he's fine after playing game one and maybe a little bit stronger and take more than 11 field goal attempts. And Drew Holiday has to play better for the Bucks to have a chance in game two tonight. I'm almost leaning towards the Bucks winning game two because then it'll make it an interesting series. And I'm part of me kind of wants to see that. I don't really want to see a one-sided series per se, although the Bucks could lose tonight and then win game three and game four and go back to Phoenix for game five. But I think the easy pick here is Phoenix because they're at home and they're up 1-0. But I think the Bucks, I wouldn't count them out at all. And I think they're going to make some adjustments tonight. And despite not playing great defensively the other night, they're down 20, came all the way back, got it to 7. I think Drew Holiday is going to be better. I think Giannis is going to be a little bit healthier. I think the Bucks are going to make some adjustments. And dare I say it, I haven't even made my pick until right now. I think the Bucks are going to find a way to win game two tonight to make this series interesting.
I think game two is going to be much more competitive.
Yes.
And I think it can come down to the wire. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Phoenix to win tonight, though.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. I'm cheering for Phoenix to win, but to have a better series, it'd probably be better if the Bucks won.
Yeah.
To make it better for fans. Of course, if you're a Suns fan, you don't want to see that. You want to see the Suns sweep and be done with it. It's game two tonight. It is the Bucks in Phoenix to take on the Suns. Suns up 1-0. Big 12 media preseason football selections have been released by the media. No big surprise here, Oklahoma dominating things here in the preseason selections. Remember, these are preseason selections, and many times they are, you go back and look at them, and they're somewhat comical. And sometimes they're right on. Offensive player of the year preseason, Spencer Rattler of Oklahoma. Well, way to go out on a limb there. Quarterback of the high-powered offense of the Sooners. A defensive player of the year, Mike Rose of Iowa State, linebacker. Newcomer of the year, Eric Gray, running back for Oklahoma. Oklahoma has on offense 6 players on offense, first team preseason. And K-State, the only guy they have on the list on preseason offense or defense is Phillip Brooks as a kick returner, a punt returner. And KU, of course, has no one on this list. Iowa State has Breece Hall at running back, and then they have 1, 2, 3, 4. They have 5 on the offensive side, and Iowa State has 3 on the defensive side. Oklahoma has 3 on the defensive side as well for first team selections. And once again, this is preseason first team all Big 12 picked by the media, not the coaches. So take that for what it is worth. All right, I'm going to turn it over to my tennis guru to my left to update us on Wimbledon. I will give him a little bit of time to pull up some results. Of course, the big story yesterday, really twofold, and that's Novak Djokovic winning again, and so he continues his winning streak in majors. And then probably the bigger story to me is Roger Federer losing in straight sets yesterday, and not only losing, but losing 6-0 in the third set. He'd only played 8 matches this year going into this Wimbledon tournament. This is the best chance to win a major of any of them, in my opinion. He's going to turn 40 in August, so this is his last major before turning 40. And we talked about it before Wimbledon began that, you know, Nadal withdrew because, isn't this right? Is Federer has 20 and Nadal has 20 and Djokovic has 20? Do they all have 20?
Djokovic has 19, I believe,
okay.
Now.
Is it 19?
I'm pretty sure if he would have won the French, he would have tied, but I'm pretty sure it's 19 right
okay.
now.
Okay. So we were talking about, yes, he has 19.
Yeah.
So if Djokovic wins, he would tie Nadal and Federer, and Djokovic is a little bit younger than Nadal, and he's about 5 or 6 years younger than Federer. And we said, you know, it'd be quite an accomplishment if Federer could win Wimbledon. He made it to the quarters, which is a good accomplishment in itself, but he's done winning majors. I hate to say it, but he's done winning majors. If Wimbledon's his best chance, and then Father Time catches up with you. So now the question is, could Djokovic actually win the next two and have 21 and still have probably a few more on his plate in the future? Nadal, best chance, of course, is the French. So this is the opportunity for Novak to tie both Federer and Nadal. But the bigger question is Roger Federer done? Will he even play the U.S. Open? Which I have my questions about that. I think he might just to be a swan song, but I think Roger Federer might be done this year playing tennis.
I think he's going to play the U.S.
Right.
For sure.
That's what I mean. He's going to finish out the year, but he's done at the end of the season.
Yeah, I've learned to not give up on Roger Federer until he actually tells me he's done, right? Like, because there's been so many times where he's gone through injuries, you're like, this is it for him. Like, there's no, and then he'll come back and win a major.
Nadal's the same way.
He's older now, obviously, and so it's a little bit different. I mean, when you're touching 40, it's it's a little bit different at this level. So, I don't think he was even completely healthy coming into the Wimbledon tournament this year to where he would have wanted to be and still had a pretty good outing. You know, obviously he didn't finish well, losing 6-0 in the final set. But, you know, I feel like he did some good things, even though obviously his body's not where it needs to be able to have the kind of success you would think that he actually did have.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he set that bar so high that losing in the quarterfinals in straight sets and then a 6-0 loss in the third is just not what you expect from Roger Federer. So it obviously brings up those questions to whether is this it for him? Is he done? And rightfully so. I'm not going to be surprised if he says I'm going to hang it up after this last major. Just like you said, just kind of a swan song for the U.S. Open and do that. But again, I need to see him say that and do it before I'll believe he's done, because he's got a different motor in him too. So
here's why I think he'll be done at the end of this year. Now, if he makes a deep run U.S. Open and makes the semis or the finals, that might change. I would change my mind. I think Roger Federer is a very proud champion, and if he knows or he believes that he can't win a major anymore, there's no point in playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what it's going to come down to. That's why I believe Federer will retire at the end of this year after the U.S. Open, because if I can't win Wimbledon, and granted, he's only had 8 matches. He gets his health back, like you said. He might be able to get right back there. I think how he fares at U.S. Open will have a gigantic impact on what he's going to do for next year. If he goes out and doesn't play well and is out early in the U.S. Open, doesn't make a deep run, or if he does get all the way to the semis or the finals, that may change his mind and say, hey, I have an off season, I'll get healthy again, I'll make a run at it. And he could very well do that. And I don't want to underestimate Roger Federer. He could easily do that. He could easily go to U.S. Open and be like the Phil Mickelson winning a major here this past year when you don't expect it. He could, you know, make a run, a couple guys get upset, Djokovic gets upset, Nadal isn't playing. Because I don't think he'll beat Djokovic again in a major, I don't think. As long as they're, you know, Djokovic is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a scenario where he gets the right draw and he can make a deep run and he says, you know what, I still got it, and imagine what I could do if I get fully healthy and then I can play a full schedule next year in regards to the majors. But I don't know, man. I mean, Wimbledon yesterday, getting blanked in the third set on top of it, and he had a comfortable lead in the set earlier in the match and couldn't finish. That's not Roger Federer-like. So I just think Father Time has caught up to him. It happens to the best of everybody. And I think Roger Federer is not going to win another major, and I don't think I'm going out on a big limb to say that.
No, not at all right now. I mean, the trajectory of where he's going right now would show that he's not going to do that, right?
But what does Roger Federer think?
If
he thinks he can still win majors, he will keep playing. But if he thinks he can't, I don't think there's any point for
him. Yeah, I mean, he has nothing left to prove.
No.
Like,
no.
There's not a thing in there that he needs to prove to anybody
now.
He's won every Grand Slam.
Yes.
He's right now won the most, tied with the most with Rafael Nadal, but I think people feel like he's won more of the other ones than just one, right?
Right.
And I think he gets a little bit of a bit more credit for that. But, there's no reason for it. I mean, why put your body through that?
Yeah.
When you had injuries and everything like that anyway, why put more tax on it to just come back and finish – make it to the quarterfinals of Grand Slam tournaments? Like, you know, I don't feel like it's worth it at that age. And
I don't either. You know, and you're risking you're not risking your legacy, but you know, you don't want to see your great players just limp to the finish line.
Yeah.
You know, next year goes out and doesn't even make a quarterfinal in the majors. I don't want to see that. And I don't think he wants to.
No.
I don't think he wants to be a shell of himself is my point. So we see, okay, where are we at on the Wimbledon update?
Well, I want to say, too, like this Hurkacz from Poland that beat him, it's like nobody's talking about me. This is my first semifinal in my career in a Grand Slam. He's only 24. He's got time to get there. But that's this is the difference of what we're talking about, right? He went to a three-set match, and all the talk's about Roger Federer.
Right.
And this guy's coming up. But, other men's players that made it to the semis are Matteo Berrettini and Denis Shapovalov. I think I said that right, from Canada. But women's semifinals are actually underway today. Ash Barty already won in straight sets, the number one seed over Angelique Kerber. And then Arina Sabalenka is playing Karolina Pliskova in the second semifinal. That's going to start at 9:45. So Barty's into the finals on the women's side this morning.
All right. And so the men's situation, did you go over that?
Yeah, all those players that I've just mentioned will play in the semifinals coming up tomorrow. I'm inside. So,
All right. Breakfast at Wimbledon over the weekend.
Yeah.
Back to the Olympics for a moment. Tokyo's new state of emergency will run from July 12th to August 22nd. That spans the entire time of the Olympics. Thus, there'll be no fans at the Olympic Games. That's the breaking story in sports here today. Tokyo reported 920 new COVID-19 cases as of yesterday. That's an increase of 714 from last week. So it's their biggest increase since early May. So they are going to take the precautions. No fans. Here's the other important part of why there's no fans. As a country, Japan has 810,000 COVID-19 cases. There have been 15,000 deaths. Only 15% of the Japanese population is fully vaccinated. That's a big reason why fans aren't going to be there either. Now, if they were at 65% vaccinated, it might be a different deal. But 15% isn't very much. So they're taking the precautions, but the Olympics and the games will still go on, but without fans. Speaking of the Olympics, Sha'Carri Richardson, we've talked about her. She is the U.S. sprinter that failed the drug test, positive test for marijuana, which has THC, of course, in it. We talked about how there are rules, and we're not going to go over that all again. I mean, she broke the rules. She knew the rules, and we can feel sorry for her, and we should. We feel sorry for her and have sympathy and compassion for her for losing her mother. At the same time, she did break a rule. It is one thing that I did see since we spoke yesterday, and it is an interesting subtopic, I guess you can call it, is that it was a 30-day ban for the substance, which is marijuana. It was legal in the state where she smoked it, but there are 19 states out of 50 in this country that have legalized some form of marijuana usage. Oregon is one of those, which means less than half the country's accepted it. I saw somebody put out there, and I thought they nailed the nail on the head, and they said the only thing stupider than first of all, it is stupid because a person is knocked out of Olympics because they smoked weed, but even stupider is people believing that somebody's going to change the rules just like that for one person. Mm-hmm. Is even stupider, is what the person said. And I thought that was a very good point, because that's just not reality at all, and some people don't live in a realistic world, apparently. But there was an interesting point, and this is the subtopic, is that a 30-day ban, and we talked about how she could have been on the 4x1 relay team and still participated in the Olympics, and that would have made people feel better about things. I think it would have had the naysayers and the people that are screaming about how the rule is so dumb and that you should be able to smoke weed and as much as you want, basically, and still compete because it didn't give you a performance-enhancing advantage. You know, many people very outspoken about it, and then how Sha'Carri Richardson was a stand-up person and admitting to it and this and that. And so this is an interesting point. The Olympics could have done this, is that the 30-day ban that she has was going to prevent her from running the 100, which she was had a chance to be a gold medalist. And so that was going to take place based on the schedule within the 30-day ban. But the 4x100-meter relay for the USA women actually would have taken place after her 30-day ban. So there are some people that have written about this last night and today, which is an interesting point, is, you know, what you could have done here and probably save some face, even though I'll argue they didn't need to save face had she not smoked marijuana, but that's another point, is that she still could have been a part of the team on the relay. She still could have had the Olympic moment, and that would have probably calmed things down, and that would have been the right thing to do, according to certain people. They weren't saying about reinstating her for the 100-meter dash. They were saying, hey, the 4x1 is after her 30-day ban, so why not let her participate? Thoughts?
Well, I think people have been talking about that for a while here, to get her, you know, obviously after the 30 days, you can do that. And I mean, I don't know which way to take that. Like, I feel like if you're banned, you're banned. Like, does
well, but 30 days is 30 days. She's not banned when the 4x100 is going to be run. That's not, she's not banned.
Yeah, actually. When you go.
She could still train.
Yeah, it's just like it's a weird scenario.
Would she be allowed to practice with her team?
That's
and
work what
on
I'm saying. Is like
stuff?
When you go over there, can you do that? When
know.
She goes over, can
banned.
She even walk in the opening ceremony?
Yeah, I don't know
because she's banned during that time, right? What can and can't she be a part of during the 30-day ban?
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
And if she can't train with her team and practice, then that's not good for the 4x1 team when you're going in,
right?
So that's I think might be what's going in and leading into this decision, right? To not let her even run the 4x1 because how if you're banned, how can you be a part of anything
and a distraction for the team?
There's no doubt it's a distraction, right. It's a distraction right now.
Oh, sure.
And so you get over there and you start talking about it, and you need topics to discuss, and that's going to be at the top of the list for the USA Olympic team. And I feel like I wouldn't expect that you can train and do everything with your team if you're banned for 30 days.
I wouldn't think so either.
I think that's got to be part of it. And I just think it's easier for the US Olympic team to say, hey, we might be able to. Who knows, we might win this gold without her even on the 4x1, too. So let's get people that we know are going to be able to be there, be training, and are not, distracting from what needs to. Now, again, it's an unfortunate situation that she is would be deemed a distraction, right?
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like if you're banned from the start of the Olympics, just that happened. The Olympics have started. They've started. You're not in. I mean, that's just probably what they did, I'm guessing. It's just like, we don't want to deal with the rest of this and trying to figure out the date where you can actually come in and start competing.
Right.
When you clearly are banned at the start of this. So, I sympathize. It's unfortunate, right?
Right.
But, again, she knew the rules and made this decision and has to live with the consequences of that decision.
Right.
Just all around.
I agree.
But I understand why people are saying that she could run the 4x1 and she's...
And she could.
Time-wise.
Technically,
the time
they could.
Could do it.
They could. I mean, you could practice. I'd have to see when, like, if she have a day or two to practice, with their teammates. And these, I'm sure they've done this many times before, so it probably wouldn't be a major thing. Now, of course, what would happen if they dropped the baton? Well, see, she should have never been on this team. And you do create more issues possibly with it. Of course, there could be a great story that they win the gold, the 4x1, and she wins the gold, so forth and so on. Dominic Dawes, who is a former Olympian, she has sided with the Olympic Committee. She says rules are rules. She's a 3-time Olympic gold medalist and spoke about the suspension for American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson. And, of course, there's been a widespread backlash, but she agrees with it. She said, the rules are the rules, and you're speaking to an Olympic gymnast, and we are very particular, and we are rule followers for most cases. I do think, because it is a current rule, they need to follow the rule. Unfortunately, that does mean that Richardson will not be competing in these Olympic Games. My last Olympic Games, there were rules out with regards to the age that an athlete had to be. However, Chinese gymnasts were underage, and that truly affected myself and my teammates from getting on the podium and getting a bronze medal during the 2000 Olympic Games, so I'm a rule follower. She respects how Richardson's handled the whole thing. She said she's human and that she made a mistake, and she admitted it was her fault. And that's true, and that probably also endears people to Sha'Carri Richardson as well. I don't have anything personal against Sha'Carri Richardson whatsoever. It's just that I don't think all the rules should be changed just for one person, especially not immediately. Now, if you want to revisit this rule for the next Olympics or next World Championships and you want to take marijuana off the substance abuse ban list, that's fine. Mm. I'm cool with that. I don't care what they do on that. It doesn't affect me. So if they want to do it, fine. If they want to take it off, fine. They want to leave it on the list, fine. Then because it's not like this is a big secret. You knew what was on the ban list. So as long as you know what's on the ban list, then you obviously hopefully can avoid, failing a test involving those substances. But there's no way that's going to be changed, when you click your fingers that, especially this close to the Olympics. And that's what a lot of the widespread national backlash, national talking heads don't understand. Or actually, I think they understand it. They just are stubborn and don't want to acknowledge it because it doesn't fit their agenda on what they believe in. And that's how the world rolls. That's how anything. Let's ignore the facts because it doesn't fit what I want to push. So I'm going to ignore the facts. Okay, well, that's convenient for you. and convenient for others. And, you know, there is the thing about taking responsibility for your actions. And, you know, to her credit, I haven't seen her come out and saying that this is not fair.
No.
I should be on the team. I should run in the 4x1. I mean, everybody else is doing the talking for her. But she has said, I did this, and she explained why she did it. So, I mean, you know, it's just a lot of people have never even met Sha'Carri Richardson are talking a whole bunch about how she should be allowed to be in the Olympics, even though she broke rules that everybody's known about. So in a way, you're punishing all the other people that didn't break the rules. Because there's other people probably going, listen, if you let Sha'Carri Richardson compete in the Olympics and you change the rules, then why didn't I love to smoke weed? But I gave up weed for my whole training period. But I could have usually used weed, medical marijuana, that would have really helped me. But I didn't do it because I didn't want to get a positive test. Now they say it's okay for her to do it. Well, I could have done it all this time. I mean, seriously, you could easily come back with that.
Yeah.
So you just, like we said before, yesterday, you just don't want to open up that bag of worms and open the Pandora's box. And so they did what they probably had to do. But it is interesting subtopic to say, okay, could she have run in the 4x1? Yeah, she could have technically. What kind of impact would it have had on her teammates? Would that be taking away a spot for somebody else who didn't break the rules? You know, that's a good comeback. Although her ban would be lifted in time to where she'd be eligible. How would it affect practices? And could they practice, like Dusty said, would she be allowed for the opening ceremonies, which is going to be very weird without fans, by the way. Now, if you didn't hear, this is the breaking news today. No fans at the Olympic Games in Tokyo that were supposed to take place last year. So I think this is probably the way it has to be handled. Based on the timing of everything. Now, if this happened back in January, obviously this wouldn't be as big of an issue because you just let her run her 30 days and she'd still be able to run and she'd be fine and she'd qualify.
Yeah.
But the timing of it, of course, was really bad. And so the rules are being upheld, which I think most people that have been involved in sports understand that there's a set of rules that are supposed to be for the whole team, not for just one individual, or not for one individual. And anybody that's played competitive sports, I would hope, would understand that. There's some people that talk a lot about sports, but I don't know if they ever played or coached.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on their stuff, it's like, wow, how far have you fallen from the real world? If your kid was involved in something like this, and this other kid got preferential treatment and was able to break the rules and do this and do that, and your kid was denied an opportunity, he'd be going, you know what? I mean, think about that for a second. Anybody that's really for Sha'Carri Richardson to run the Olympics, which I get that she's endearing to people because she stood up, said, I did this, okay? And she lost her mother. Totally get that. But where's the talk about, okay, if you allow her if you just ignore the rules and waive the rules for her in this one instance, you're now taking away a spot from a person that didn't break the rules on the 100 meter dash team. Like, there's only certain people that are qualified from the U.S. That's why you had the Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity for somebody else that didn't break the rules to take Sha'Carri Richardson's spot to run the 100 in Tokyo.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're the parent of that person and you know that Sha'Carri Richardson did this and the rules are that she's banned for 30 days and you're all excited about how your daughter is going to get the run in the Olympics, even though she was one spot out of qualifying, but now she takes that spot for Richardson because she's the one that chose to smoke marijuana in a grieving situation. And then all of a sudden, the Olympic Committee says, or the USA Track and Field says, you know what, Sha'Carri, we understand your pain. You know what, forget the rule. We're going to waive it. And all of a sudden, that person is out, and they didn't break the rules. Now, what would those talking heads say if that was their daughter? Do they think they'd be okay with somebody having the rules waived for them because of something that one person chose to do, whether it's during a grieving situation or not? They would have a whole different take on it. But they never stop to think about that.
Yeah. The easy answer is no, they would not be okay
with that. No, they wouldn't be. They would be so loud, it would blow your eardrums. So one thing we try to do on the show is try to be as objective as we can and try to present both sides of the thinking. We try to. That doesn't always work on this show, but we try to do that, to understand both sides. And I do understand where people are coming from on the one. I understand where people are coming from on the other. But I just relate it back to any kind of sports team of any kind. Any kind. And this is the USA Track and Field Women's Team, all right? Mm-hmm. It's an individual event, but it's a team, USA Track and Field team. It's an organization, and the rules have been upheld, and I don't really see that you really had another choice, because then you'd have a whole bunch of people really upset.
Yeah. The only thing USA Track and Field can do about this is decide if she can or can't run in the 4x1.
Yes,
this is
right.
not a USA Track and Field rule. This is an IOC rule.
Right.
It's the International Olympic Committee.
Right.
So these people have to meet.
Right.
The only decision they could have made was to allow her to run on the 4x1. That's it. And there's just so much that goes into that. Like, are you gonna pay for the transportation of somebody that's on a current ban to get to Tokyo? You know, all
sure.
kinds of those things.
Yeah.
Can she be a part of any? When can she be a part of?
When
it?
Can she be a
and
part?
And it's
of
like,
it?
Are, if you're 30-day ban, how can she travel with the team? Right.
Yeah.
That's another thing you look at. So, I think it's probably. It was the easy decision for USA Track and Field. They probably didn't want to put too much,
right.
make it too controversial and make it too difficult on logistics and how they were going to do it. Some people might think they probably just took a pass on it just to make it easier for themselves, but I don't know. Yeah, but there's all kinds of things that go into that.
Yep. Here's an interesting story to end the show today. Denver Broncos quarterback Drew Locke. He was traveling across Kansas. Of course, he plays for the Broncos, but he played at University of Missouri, so he has family in Missouri. And apparently he was either driving, I don't know which way he was driving, but anyway, during the break before started training camp, he was driving across Kansas before he suffered quite a scare. While Drew Locke was traveling in his vehicle, a rogue lug nut. I never heard that term before. A rogue lug nut apparently found its way into his windshield and completely shattered Drew Locke's windshield. Trooper Ben from the Kansas Highway Patrol said Locke had to avoid a bouncing tire, and a lug nut flew across the median and nearly went through Locke's windshield. They even posted photos from the incident, and man, you talk about a completely shattered windshield.
The picture's crazy. I mean,
it
that
is.
Lug nut's just embedded,
it's embedded in the windshield.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. And so there's a picture of the troopers. Says you never know when you have to help somebody. Today it was quarterback Drew Locke of the Denver Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing that Drew didn't beat the Chiefs last year, because I don't know if they would have helped him if he'd beat the Chiefs. I'm kidding. I don't know. An unrelated story, the two officers are Bronco fans as well. Nah, I'm just making that stuff up. But that it is a crazy picture. You can just Google it and you'll find it. Drew Locke's windshield. And it'll come up. And it's just a lug nut. A rogue lug nut right into his windshield while he's traveling across Kansas. That'd be quite the scare, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if it comes on the driver's side, which it looks like it is on the driver's side here.
I've hit four deer in my life, so I know the differences of what that is maybe. But when anything comes up on the windshield, right, or knocks in through the windshield,
yeah.
It's just that's when it's scary, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the other deer that I've hit have curled underneath me, right? But one of them, man, a big old buck just comes over the top of your windshield and you're just not ready for it, right? And so anything that's coming in, you're going to do damage. I guess that's why you're glad they make windshields like they do nowadays with the glass the way it is. It can't just immediately just shatter into however many pieces right away.
Right.
So, yeah, obviously, safety's come a pretty long way on those. And might have saved him from at least a little injury. I don't know. I don't know how what a fast flying lug nut can do to you like that. Never been hit by one, but
right,
man, that's crazy. I saw that on Facebook yesterday. I was like, whoa.
Right.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.